Very good evening, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk Women's Roundtable, where we speak about issues affecting women. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington this Thursday, January the 25th, 2023. I'm your host, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. And tonight on the Women's Roundtable, we are looking at the visit to Africa of the U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. She visited Senegal, Zambia, and is currently in South Africa. The visit follows President Joe Biden's commitment to engage Africa for strategic economic partnerships made at the U.S.-Africa Leadership Summit last year. Chinese and Russian representatives are also in Africa, expanding their ties with African countries. We'll also be speaking to some top female rights defenders and politicians on their views on this issue. Nasi tarisa kushanya ku Africa kwe guruko tareje marimo America, amai Janet Yellen. Amai Yellen vakatanga nekushanyira Senegal ndo kuenda ku Zambia uye parizvino vari mu South Africa umo vari kusangana nemamwe makurukota nemasangano akazvimirira. Rwendo rwaamai Yellen runoitika panguva iyo mumiriri weAmerica ku United Nations, amai Linda Thompson Greenfield vari kushanyirawo Africa. Amai Greenfield vari muMozambique parizvino, ukuwo vamiriri veChina neRussia vari muAfrica vachitsvaga nzira dzekusimbaradza kudyidzana nenyika dzemuAfrica. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen announced on Wednesday the formation of a joint task force with South Africa to address wildlife trafficking, money laundering, and funding of terrorist groups in both nations. Let us hear more about what she said.
We'll increase information sharing between our financial intelligence units to better support key law enforcement agencies from South Africa and the United States. Second, the task force will prioritize the sharing of financial red flags and indicators related to wildlife trafficking cases. Finally, U.S. Treasury and our counterparts at the National Treasury will work to strengthen controls in our countries and beyond to combat money laundering and terrorist financing through public-private partnership activities in the region. We will convene relevant government authorities, regulators, law enforcement, and the private sector to improve controls to combat money laundering and the illicit proceeds related to drug trafficking and wildlife.
Top Chinese, Russian, and American officials are scrambling this month to visit nations in Africa, the world's fastest growing continent. Several U.S. officials are in Africa, walking a fine line between their desire for Africa's support against Russia, aggression, and Chinese ambitions, and their promise to do work that benefits the continent. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Washington.
Top Chinese, Russian, and American officials have in past weeks flocked to Africa in what they say is a quest to build deeper partnerships. President Joe Biden said last month that he, too, plans to visit this year. Washington says this is not about countering Russian and Chinese ambitions, but about building meaningful relationships in areas such as business, health, and peace and security.
Our partnership in Africa is not about other nations. Our partnership there, it's as demonstrated by our commitments at the U.S. Africa Leaders Summit, the United States sees African countries as genuine partners and wants to build relationship based on mutual respect.
But the continent's top diplomat says Africa, which was brutally colonized by European powers for centuries, is no one's pawn. And he added, China understands that.
Africa refuses to be seen as an arena for influence struggles. We are open to a cooperation and partnership with everyone, as long as they respect our principles, our priorities, and our interests. The partnership we have with China is built on these principles.
But as the most senior visiting U.S. official said recently, these great power rivals are keenly aware of one another's activities, especially as China and Russia flex their muscles globally.
Many African countries are now plagued by high and unsustainable debt, and that's undeniably a problem, and much of it is related to Chinese investments in Africa. So I think that's simply a factual statement. But this is not for us. This is not a competition with China. We want to deepen our engagement with Africa.
Analysts say these two goals, real partnership but also great power competition, are not mutually exclusive.
All of these things can be true at the same time. However, we're not acknowledging that truth. We are acknowledging only one truth, which is that we want to see Africa develop, and I think it's just more complicated than that.
Analysts estimate that China spent more than $1 trillion on its global Belt and Road Initiative, which builds infrastructure in the developing world. China maintains a strict stance of non-interference in other countries' internal affairs. During his first trip on the job, China's new foreign minister rejected the notion of Africa as an ideological battleground, as it often was during the Cold War.
No country, no people have the right to force African countries and its people to take sides. Africa should be a platform for international cooperation, not an arena for competition between major countries.
The next top American official to visit in coming days will be Biden's ambassador to the United Nations, who previously oversaw the continent at the State Department. And then, presumably, Biden goes. The White House this week said there were no concrete plans to announce yet. Biden has framed the conflict in Ukraine as a struggle between democracies and autocracies. With Africa showing clear signs of democratic backsliding, Hudson wonders whether Biden will keep those ideals in front on African soil.
Or will he kind of ignore that or put that on a back burner so that he can build relationships that might advantage Washington at the UN or down the road politically?
So will the president pack principle or practicality or both when he makes the trip? Anita Powell, VOA News, Washington.
Now, let's take a short break. Please don't go away. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on all our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele, and we're also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. We are now joined by our guest, Sally Ncube, a co-founder of Women Democracy Network Africa, who also attended the U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit last month in Washington. And we also have Irene Manyara Munyenziwa, a politician, and Charlene Chekenya of Stand Foundation Trust. Welcome to the program, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marvelous.
I'm so excited because it's unusual for us to get all our guests at the same time, and I understand that happened today, so it's a good week for women. But I'll start off with Sally Ncube. You were here at the U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit in Washington, and this week we saw U.S. Treasury Secretary visiting Africa. What does this mean, do you think? This is addressed to Sally Ncube.
Sorry, can you repeat the question again? The power cuts, I missed a piece of the question.
That's fine. I was saying that this week we saw U.S. Treasury Secretary Amai Yellen visiting Africa. What does this mean? As a follow-up, you were here in the United States at the U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit, and now we're seeing top officials, female officials, visiting Africa just as the year starts. What does this mean?
Thank you. For us, we wish to celebrate the President Biden administration because we have seen an increase in women's leadership representation in decision-making positions. So we see excellency of democracy in practice, gender inclusion, and ensuring that women are given the support, the power, and the required missions that we begin to see women, you know, taking leadership. So it's exciting for us as Women's Democracy Network Africa, beginning to see democracy in practice and women's leadership and excellence in leadership. It also means that how Africa is prioritized in the U.S. Africa development agenda and priorities in terms of policy and any form of agreement and development interventions. We will be informed in that when the women leadership who visit Africa Connect with and have that appreciation and understanding. It brings in an inclusive perspective, which we believe will strategically inform and enrich the U.S. Africa development relations.
Thank you very much there. My second question, I will aim it at Amai Irene Munyeziwa, the politician. The U.S. is coming at a time where Chinese and Russians have already established themselves in Africa. What are your views on this?
I would like to say I think it's the wrong turn. It's the right turn for America at this particular point in time, increasing, I think, the partnerships, you know, agreements, you know, between the U.S. and Africa. If you're looking at the Biden administration, it wanted to send a clear message of strong re-engagement, you know, with Africa. The previous U.S.-Africa Africa Leaders Summit, that was in 2014, you know, had sort of like a reference to this partnership, you know, with Africa, which didn't come forth as we expected, you know, here in Africa. What you had there is the relationship changed, you know, since then, since 2014, and you know, this is how the dynamics of the summit itself showed a different, you know, limelight to how, you know, the U.S.-Africa relations, you know, were. The context, you know, now has changed, you know, significantly. You know, after former President you know, Barack Obama left office, you did see Donald Trump's administration, you know, made a brutal shift in the tone and the actual interests of the United States, you know, in Africa. The election of, you know, President Joe Biden, you know, marks a new turn, like I said, you know, earlier on, and a new comeback, you know, to the spirit of 2014. But 8 years, you know, have passed, and political changes have happened in various African countries. There was a unique, you know, pandemic, as we all know, which affected, you know, all of us, you know, globally, and which had global consequences. And the war in Ukraine, you know, had huge implications for Africa and beyond. The dynamics of the recent summit, you know, reflected the current geopolitical context and the renewed interest of all major powers in securing support and partnerships, you know, with African countries. If you are comparing, you know, to 2014, mm-hmm. there is a far greater U.S. appreciation, at least at the rhetorical level, of the need to engage with Africa in a more consistent and sustained way. And given the role of the continent, you know, it is poised, you know, to play. So we are looking at, you know, how global affairs between the U.S. and Africa relations will be seen, as we have seen that, you know, there is so much huge interest in creating this power partnership with Africa between the Biden administration and Africa.
Thank you so much. And let me now turn to Charlene Chekenya. You have been here to the United States under some different programs, but we see the U.S., China, and Russia are all economic giants. What can Africa and its women get from partnering with these countries, all three of them, but at most the United States?
Thank you very much. Partnerships are very detrimental in project implementation of any organization. And partnership with these countries, well, especially the United States, where I'm mostly invested in, has been quite useful in terms of resources, not only financial resources, but also resources in terms of knowledge, resources in terms of conferencing, tools for implementing various programs here in Africa. So the exchange, you know, the exchange of ideas and tailoring projects to suit the African perspective. Those are some of the very important those that is very important.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much there, Charlene Chekenya. I will go back to Ms. Irene Munyenziwa, you know, with a question, a follow-up on foreign investments. As a politician, every country needs foreign investments. How can Zimbabwe take advantage of these prospects? Let's say that you were at this moment in time the one who is ruling Zimbabwe as a woman. How can Zimbabwe take advantage of these prospects, or is it a little bit too late?
I don't think it's late at all, because if you're looking at it, you know, the U.S. is coming back to Africa, looking at all countries. I think though we have seen, I think, better relations between, I think, the U.S. and Nigeria in terms of, you know, oil exports. I'm sure we know that quite a lot of, you know, oil is exported, you know, from Nigeria to the United States, and that has created a better relationship as compared to the relationship in Zimbabwe, as well the relationship with the U.S. And South Africa. So the northern region and the southern region, you can say that there is some sort of relations, but in terms of Zimbabwe, I think we'd like to see much better engagement between the two countries in terms of, you know, discussing, you know, how foreign direct investment, you know, can be brought into the country, how we can actually be an attractive, you know, country in terms of our infrastructure development, in our energy industry, our mining, our agriculture, our manufacturing, and our commerce, and, you know, fishing, textiles industry. It's so many facets, you know, that we can bring to the United States. So we are looking forward to this engagement, you know, so that we can propel our country and better this relationship, you know, so that we can have a better relationship in terms of, you know, importation and exportation.
Thank you so much. Before I take my next question, I understand we have a live caller here from the United States. Hello, caller Magadi. I want to reward the Tipeo Pungwa Zenimurkun, because you put out an image, my Arpano, Tina, Mamai Salimube, Varkuan, Koyo Vankange, Varipam Sangano Mukuru, Kaiko Kunoko America, Tina Shakare, Muzare, Shalinche Kenya, Uyeje, Namai Nienzu, Avamans, Wabachi Voktaura Parisian, Tipeo Pungwa Zenu.
Agree with the ladies or in terms of the relationship, also trying to, also as a country, Zimbabwe, trying to build a better relationship with the U.S. because it is not just beneficial to the government. Actually, it is also beneficial to the person on the ground, to our rural communities. Looking at issues, I know Secretary Janet Yellen, she has been to Zambia. They have been talking about how the health sector has improved in Zambia, and because also of the investment that the U.S. is making to that country. So we're looking at Zimbabwe. You find that we are talking, we'll be talking in this day and age of kids dying because they couldn't fight. They were bitten by a snake, and there is no venom, you know, anti-venom, you know, medicine. So we, those, the relationship, if we saw the relationship with the U.S., it would be beneficial to the ordinary person right in the deep, deep rural areas.
Imi tinoona kuti munoshanda nezvimwe zvisharwa zveZimbabwe zviri kunzvimbo dzakadai sekuChimanimani nekumwewo. Pane zvamungawana here zvingabuda pakushanya kwamai Janet Yellen, tichiona hedu kuti havana kusvika muZimbabwe asi varimo muSouth Africa umu mavari kunyorerana zvibvumirano neSouth Africa?
Chisho chedu ndechekuti I think nyaya inowanyanyofira panyaya yeaccountability as a country and corruption. Because nyaya idzodzo tikatanga kudzigadzirisa zvingatibatsira zvakanyanya muvana. Ndikakutaurirai kuti right now we still since cyclone Idai in 2019 in the Chimanimani area, we still have young women and girls vasiri kuzvikoro. And yet kune mari dzakapledzwa dzichinzi dzabva even kune mahurumende dzakaita sethe US hadzisina kunosvika kuti dzibatsiridze vamwe vanhu vachiri mumatende, vamwe vanhu havasati vavakirwa dzimba dzacho. The pain is still very raw. So ipapapa tinenge tichitarisira kuti ndiri kutaura nyaya dzeaccountability, but tinezenge tave kubvunzwa kuti saka mari iya makaishandisirei, tobva takanda madhaka mudenga kuti matibvunzirei, saka isu tave kutarisa east. Saka the issue of accountability inodiwa, whether tiri kupatna ne the west vakasanga vakatarisana naus kana kuti tiri kutarisana nevana ivo vana China vacho. But zvinobatsira zvakanyanya kuva neukama hwakanaka nekudyidzana zvakanyanya nenyika dzakabudirira dzakaita sana United States.
Thank you so much Lucy Ndongwe Chikore. Regabatai makadaro muri ipapo nimbodzokera kune vanyarikani vedu. I'm going back now. I think Sally Ncube, if you're here, let me know if you're here because this one is in your neck of the woods. The U.S., unlike China and Russia, tie any investment with good governance and respect of rule of law. Do you see the U.S. putting more money into Zimbabwe considering the political situation in the country? That's to Sally Ncube.
Thank you. When we look at the history of U.S. relations or support to our growing democracy, there have been various initiatives that have come before and that continue to come and that are even being implemented, which contribute to our economy, livelihood of communities, issues of food security, emergency response, health interventions. And when we look at the reach of U.S. aid investment or the contributions that U.S. as a country makes to Zimbabwe, I wish to appreciate that it is a significant development in investment. And it just does not come in as it is multi-year, which means it understands when development has to happen, it has to happen over time. So when you look into programs or support mechanisms that the U.S. government invests in Zimbabwe, it is 3 to 5 years and then there is a continuation. It supports marginalized communities, women, youth, persons with disabilities. And when you go on the social media sites of youth, you begin to see the stories of how people, their lives is being uplifted. So when we look into is money enough, I think it's about us also taking responsibility as Zimbabwean citizens to begin to put our money in contributing to our national development and holding our duty bearers accountable so that they also do adequate resource allocation. Domestic result mobilization initiatives that do not squeeze citizens, because our tax regime also sometimes punishes those that are of the working class. Because they expect them. Whatever you earn, you now have to cover for other communities or your relatives that are not open. So I see an opportunity that we appreciate the support we get, we learn on what we can do better, and then as we partner with other various countries, we then also strengthen our bilateral agreements by applying a human rights lens onto it so that we are not shortchanged in business deals. So some of the things that come with partnerships are technical. They require us to also play the A game in negotiating a big deal that brings in a win-win situation, not just for now, but for the future generations. And lastly, also issue to do with any intervention that is sustainable to our environment, because we can enjoy you know, whatever benefits that come for now, but for the future and then what? And the aged population, we were not ready for the aged population, anyone aged 60 to above. We have a health delivery system that is not coping with the aged population, but this was once a working class, a generation that contributed to building this country. So I would say we need to then strengthen our intergenerational investment so that no generation is left behind.
Thank you so much, and I will turn now for my last question before, you know, we go into what you ladies are doing, you know, with your own organizations. I will, you know, target Ms. Munjenyezi, you are the politician, to say, as a politician and as women, what are you doing to ensure that there is good governance and respect of law in Zimbabwe? That's the last question for you.
Thank you very much, because that is a very, very important, you know, question. As we look at Zimbabwe, I think what affects us is how other countries view us. I think our reputation in terms of governance is something that is not so strong democratically as well as socially and economically. So these are the things that we really need to put forward. You know, I, as a leader of For Us Party, Freedom of Rights and a Sovereign, this is something that we need to move away from, the anarchical style of governance that does not give production, you know, to the country. It actually hinders production. So in terms of the rule of law, I think these are some of the things that we really need to look into. Separation of our legislation that is actually applicable to its unique institution, and so that it is applied, you know, very well as well, without anything that actually hinders transparency, which is one of our core values in terms of looking at accountability and so forth. So these are some of the things that For Us Party will be looking into putting things into play. As you know, I think a country can only be measured by its transparency for all the other countries for it to be seen as attractive for business. But as we speak right now, Zimbabwe is not so attractive in terms of our legislative policies, our commercial policies and so forth. So these are some of the things that I'll be looking into and see how we can put forward a strong governance, you know, that is actually democratically correct and democratically transparent.
Thank you there. I will now turn to Charlene Chekenya of Stand Foundation Trust. Ms. Chekenya, mambo tuzo kuti imisangano renyu richange richishanda sei mukubatsira madzimai nevanasikana munyika iro gore rino.
Thank you very much. Because, you know, Maka, our 10th year tissue operator in Zimbabwe. So by so doing, the month of March, you know, of our International Women's, in the International Women's Day, Tshala Tshu launch a book, Renu, Renuing Kampasa, a 10-year research based on my experiences at Aita Tshishanda, who enhance our girls' education, who enhance women's leadership, and social emancipation. So, book which came in March, Tshishanda Patakaita, title of the book was 1,000 Limits to Fear.
Thank you so much, Charlene. Our time is really running, so I'll just turn to Salim Mube to just give us a brief of what you are going to be doing as an organization assisting women in Zimbabwe. Just 30 seconds of what your organization will be doing this year. Okay, I understand that Sally dropped, so we'll end the program with Irene Manyara Munyenziwa. Tell us what you are planning for this year.
I think going back to the U.S., you know, Africa relations, this is something that is quite important. I wanted to point that out, that this is something that we're looking to enhance in terms of, you know, how we're going to move forward in pushing the country in terms of technology. As you can see, I think the first ever U.S.-Africa Space Forum was launched, you know, with the recent, you know, U.S.-Africa Summit. These are some of the things that we're looking to propel and see, you know, how far we can enrich, you know, Zimbabwe with within that that space, as well as other technological engagements in terms of looking at the solar.
Thank you so much. Unfortunately, time is not on our side, but I'd like to thank our guest, Salim Nube, co-founder of Women Democracy Network, Irene Manyara Munyeziwa, a politician, and Charlene Chekenya, author of Stand the Foundation Trust. And that brings us to the end of our show. I would like to also thank those that were viewing with us and all our listeners at home. Signing off, this is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington saying, have a very good night, Zimbabwe.